Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're looking at Acts 9. I'll read a few words to you. As they neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting," he replied. "Dear Lord, speak to us as you spoke to Paul." I know it'll be in a different way today, but still speak to us and help us to hear your word and to follow you and to see our lives transformed by you for Jesus' sake. Amen. The conversion of St. Paul, the most famous conversion in all of the history of the world, surely. Luke talks about it in Acts chapter 9 in our reading for today. But Paul gives testimony himself in Acts 22 and Acts 26. He gives a testimony before kings and rulers. And he refers to his conversion in 1 Corinthians 15, in Galatians chapter 1, and in Philippians chapter 3 at some length. And that's all written in the copy of the sermon that's out there if any of you didn't get all that. One thing is clear. Paul's conversion was dramatic, as everything in the life of Paul probably was. Paul was never the same again. Paul was totally transformed. He went from being persecutor of the church to preacher of the church, of Jesus, in just a few days. Paul encountered Jesus and he was totally transformed from darkness to light, from death to life, from belief in himself and what he could do to achieve salvation to Jesus Christ and trusting him totally for his salvation, from killing Christians to bringing the life of Christ to Christians. You see, conversion is total transformation. That's what it was for Paul. The question is, what's it been for you? This is not just a text about St. Paul's conversion. It's there to challenge us as well. What about us? When Jesus came to us, what happened in our lives? This text challenges you and me to ask, how genuine is my conversion? How have I encountered Christ, or maybe better still, how has Christ encountered me? One thing is clear, not all conversions are the same. And I want to just list a few of the different ones, and it's only a few of them. Paul's was very dramatic, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Some people, like many of us, grew up in a Christian home and have no clear memory of our conversion. I want you now to be a little bit brave, and I want you to put up your hand if you think you're in that category, that you were brought up in a Christian home and you have no clear memory of your conversion. That's right, that's most of you. Now, the ones whose hands didn't go up, couldn't see because... So are there any of you who have... came to a conversion through a different way than that? Put up your hands. Yep. Okay, that's good. There's some others. That's good. You know, I'm diverging a bit now, but the signs in a growing church, the more hands that go up when I say, "Were you converted in a different way and can you remember it?" That's a sign of a growing church. The sign of a declining church was that everybody was brought up just in their Christian homes, the ones who are there. So we got a few promising buds here, and that's really good. But you can see why that's the case, isn't it? Because people who converted later, that shows the church has been doing its evangelism, and usually they're a bit more excited, so they're prepared to tell other people about their faith. That's a generalisation. But most of us were brought up in Christian homes, and we might point to our baptism where Jesus stepped into our infant life, and we would be right to do that. But the challenge for us is, how have we encountered Jesus on the way since then? Or as Luther said, how are we getting on with daily repenting of our sins, and dying to our sins in repentance and being raised again to new life through faith in Jesus Christ? That's part of the catechism. Some people live at... So that's us. Now we're going to go on to another group. Some people live a totally godless life, and then through some dramatic encounter with Christ Jesus, they're overwhelmed by the love of God. Some totally dramatic thing, not quite like Paul, but something like that. And they're really, what we would say, born again. So their friends, their neighbours say, what's happened to Bob? What's happened to Bob? You know, he's always was in the pub, and now we don't even see him anymore. He's changed. He used to always be running down his wife, and now he speaks nicely about her and so on. Something's happened. Something's dramatically changed him. Now, other people grow up knowing about Jesus. They grow up in Christian homes, and then they drift away. And that's pretty common, isn't it? Unfortunately, they drift away. But then something happens. They meet some Christian person, a friend maybe, and that friend talks to them about Jesus Christ in a way they sort of feel they haven't heard it before. And somehow they're drawn to the Jesus that they probably had heard about in years gone by but didn't take much notice of. And now they come to a fresh awareness of the presence of Christ and his love for them, and they become a really active part in a church, usually another church. Isn't that so? Usually another church. But not always so. Now, a few weeks ago, I told you about May in Vietnam and how May was converted from Buddhism about 3 years ago after her life being one hell of a life. And everything going wrong and going from temple to temple and totally being unsatisfied and heaps of health problems and everything. And then something amazing happened that somebody said to... Somehow she found herself in a church, and she can't fully explain that. She found herself in a church, and she knew she was desperate, and a pastor said... do you agree to have Jesus as your Saviour? Well, she hardly knew what that meant, but she was desperate, so she said, I agree. And she said, she looks back, she said, the amazing thing is that Jesus took that, and he worked with that. And now she's such a full-on Christian, and I got an email from her just last night, and she said, I said, oh, the next Valby course that we teach is... probably quite a way from where you live. I don't even know where she lives, but it's quite a way. And she said, oh, it's about 500 kilometres. But she said, that's nothing. In comparison, what Jesus Christ has done for me to go 500 kilometres to learn about him more, that's nothing. And besides, she said, you pastors come thousands of kilometres to teach us about Jesus. So there's another conversion. But Paul was different again. He already believed in God, but not in Jesus as his Saviour. He hated Jesus and he hated Christians. He lived by the law of God, mind you, the law of God. He thought he could be saved by living the law of God perfectly in Philippians 3 really spells that out, how good he was. He was so committed to his vision of God that he hunted down all those who disagreed with him. And that made me think a little bit about us and the church. We need to ask whether we're in danger of that sometimes. We need to ask whether we're following Jesus, our Saviour, or our own view of what it means to follow Jesus or to be a Christian. We can be so self-righteous. That's what people hate about Christians, that often they see them as so self-righteous. We can be so self-righteous but so wrong. because that's not the way of Jesus. We can be so religious, you know, oh, everything's got to be done this way or that way and everything, or else you're not a true Christian and so on. But we can be so little Christian at the same time. And we can be, like Paul, we can be the hardest nuts to crack. And the hardest nuts to crack are often people in the church. So how did Jesus crack Paul? 3 points. A blinding light from heaven. Paul had been given authority from the high priest in Jerusalem to go to the synagogues of Damascus, about 150 miles away from in Syria, to arrest any who belonged to the way, that's the Christians in other words. As he neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. This is a dramatic intervention from heaven. And I'd be surprised if anything quite like that's happened to you. But it does happen to many people, especially the bright light. In Muslim lands where it's not safe for missionaries to go with the gospel, Jesus often appears to people in their dreams and visions or whatever they are. And he appears as a bright light. They see Jesus, they know it's Jesus in a bright light. And he speaks to them with words like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they don't even know those words are in the Bible or anything. But then somehow God engineers it so that the next day or two, they somehow meet a Christian, also a secret believer, who somehow God directs to them. And they get into a conversation and they find out about Jesus. And then maybe eventually they're led to a church and there they hear, I am the way, the truth and the life. And it all comes together and they are converted. They're brought into the family of God. So that's the way it happens in many places in the world today. Just 100 years or so ago in India, the high caste Sadhu Sundar Singh had an amazing experience. He had just poured kerosene on a Bible. He hated it so much, and he'd lit it and he'd burnt the Bible. And this is what he wrote afterwards. At 4:30 a.m., I imagine this was pretty soon after this had happened, on the 18th of December, 1904, I saw a great light. I thought the place was on fire. I saw the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was such an appearance of glory and love. And that's his confession of how God appeared to him, how Jesus appeared to him in this amazing light and thoroughly converted him. And he went on to live a life of witness, and eventually he disappeared into Tibet or Nepal, I can't remember, to witness to people and was never seen again. God goes to extraordinary lengths to crack hard nuts. God often has to immobilize us to get our attention, to drive us to see our great need for him. Not only does Paul fall to the ground, he's blinded by the bright light. Paul, who was blind to Jesus, is now blind to absolutely everything. Proud, self-righteous Paul is now lying on the ground, blind, and has to be led by the hand. He becomes totally dependent. Independent Paul becomes totally dependent on other people. Proud Paul has to learn humility and trust. And this for 3 days. Like Jonah, he spent 3 days in darkness praying. Proud Paul, and like Jesus, he was entombed for 3 days before he was resurrected to new life. God still does this to many people today. A near-death experience, a sickness that has us looking up from our hospital bed. Wow, have I had a lot of experiences of people who I met in hospital who became Christians as a result of their stay in hospital. A marriage or family or business disaster. a time to reflect, a time to pray, maybe even sometimes to curse God, but to pray, call out to God, to hear God calling us out of our busyness or our distraction to a new life in Christ. Then God appears to Paul in a revealing voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Paul hears a voice from heaven and immediately knows it's the voice of God. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I think he rightly suspected that it was Jesus. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. This is a great revelation from heaven. Paul is persecuting Christians, and Jesus says, you're persecuting me. When you persecute Christians, you persecute Christ. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do for me, or to me. One of Paul's most significant teachings is revealed to Paul from heaven. The Christian church is the body of Christ. It's one of the chief teachings of St. Paul in the Bible. When we attack fellow Christians, we attack Christ. When Christians suffer, Christ suffers. And when we give even a cup of cold water to a Christian, we give it to Christ. Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says that Jesus appeared to me. And he says in Galatians 1, I received the gospel I preach by revelation from Jesus Christ. Then after 3 days of darkness and prayer, the fearful Ananias lays hands on Paul. Who wanted to swap? Did I see hands go up? They wanted to swap places with Ananias? I don't think I did. And he through Ananias, God heals Paul. He sees again. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's baptized. When Paul encounters Jesus, his whole life is changed. And that should not surprise us. When we encounter Jesus, surely our whole life is changed. And we need to ask, has that happened to us? Or we just really no different from everyone else, except we go to church occasionally. Thirdly, St. Paul receives a great commission from heaven. First, through Ananias. How Ananias must have quaked when he had that vision that said, God here, Ananias, I want you to go to this fellow Paul. I know he's out killing everybody that's a Christian, but I want you to go to him and to pray for him. And you think the next morning he would have said, dear, to his wife, dear, I'm, you might never see me again. I'm off on my way to meet Paul. You've heard about, oh, Paul, oh, no. You know, I'm off to see Paul and to pray for him. But God says, go. And he goes to do what he's called to do. The Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and before the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name. And that's exactly what happened. Saul spent some days with the disciples in Damascus. We're told at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. At once. No 5-year seminary course for Paul. At once he began to preach Christ. Commissioned by the high priest to kill Christians, commissioned by Jesus to bring life to Jews and Gentiles. But the Jews conspired to kill him. This is all in the same passage. It wasn't in the reading today. It's just after it. The Jews conspired to kill him. And so Paul's new life of preaching Christ and suffering for it begins. So at the end, we just want to have a little rethink about our own lives. You've encountered Christ. I suspect that every person here today has been baptized. And we've encountered Christ. Christ has encountered us in our baptism. He's called us into his family. What is Jesus now calling you to do as a Christian? What service is Jesus commissioning you to do? It won't be what he called Paul to do, but everybody has a call on their life. To follow Christ is a call to follow him in serving him in some special way that's unique to us. And what suffering will you encounter on the way? And how will that affect your call? How will that affect your call? Like if you were paid $4 million to play rugby and you have a choice, am I going to follow Jesus or what I believe it means for me to follow Jesus and to confess Jesus and what he says, or I'm going to hang on to be $4 million? That's what's being decided today, isn't it? Exactly something like that. And that's being decided in our lives pretty much every day as we decide, is this the way I'm going to go or I'm going to take the easy road? Yeah. Paul's conversion calls us all to look at our own conversion and where we're going. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.